wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The Way Back to God. My message I will entitle, The Way Back to God. Others may tell you it is a flower bed of ease as they light it with their lying promises. I am here to tell you that your way back to God is just as long as your journey away from God. As headstrong fools, we have each one gone our own way, away from God. As the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The devil urges young folks to jump over the restraints of parental control and have their fling at sin. The world welcomes them to its sin holes. Other characters, not so easily ensnared, are moved by this. I dare you, don't be chicken. Just try it once and see for yourself. So in youth, that journey away from God starts, and on it goes, through married life, business, and social life, on into old age. Still going further away from God. Oh, the tragedy of it all. A man away from his God, a helpless slave to sin, charmed by the world and a dope of the devil, 20, 40, 60 years, and still going further away from God. Young folks, stop right where you are. You don't want to die as you are. You want to get right with your Maker someday. Face the fact of this truth. Now hear me good. Your journey back to God will be just as long as your path away from God has been. Yes, it will. Mile for mile, step for step. Modern religion tells you you can stop any time and just do what they tell you, and you will at once find yourself back to God. Be not deceived. There are no shortcuts to bypass the miles in that journey. If you took 60 years going away from God, you shall not return in 60 minutes. In the Dark Ages, Rome, calling itself a church, invented a place they called purgatory and scared people of its flames so as to exact money from them, and even claimed that after one died, the church could get them back to God and out of the fire if they paid the money. Then God raised up Martin Luther. He blasted their devilish lives and declared God's love and forgiveness through Christ and not a church. He exposed them as covetous deceivers, for if they could pray people out of fire, why would they need to get money to do it? Then came Protestantism and a revival of gospel light. Glorious days. But again, darkness came on Protestants as they set up their churches, making baptism an initiation into them, and insisting that one must become a member to be sheltered from God's judgment. What a deception! So, God raised up fearless evangelists who showed that no church could save anyone. Christ was the only Savior, and his blood alone could cleanse us from our sins and open heaven to us. This was another victory for the Lord and a defeat for the devil, but the devil never quits. So, in his subtle way, he takes up God's truth and turns it into a lie. Neighbor, you and I are not living in the dark ages of Rome's paganism, nor in the triumph of the Reformation. We live in the days of the devil's most subtle undermining of the gospel. What is it? It can be termed easy believism. The devil says, go ahead. Tell him of God's love and Christ's blood. Tell him his blood alone atones for sin. No mass or communion is needed. Preach to them that no works will save them. It is all of grace. But be sure to show them that all they must do is just believe it, and they're saved. Just accept God's plan of salvation. It's just a gift. Just take it, and you're saved. Just as simple as all that. This is the devilish apostasy of our day. No repentance, no surrender to Christ as Lord, no receiving him as Savior. No turning from sin, no birth with a changed life, no works of repentance, and no getting back to God. This devilish religion covers America like the dew. And what has it done? It has turned Christianity into a blight of humanity, while its believers live like infidels, so that even godless communists mock them, and atheists are about to take over the government and the nation. In our Lord's parable of the prodigal son, that young man took his journey into a far country. Easy going, downhill all the way. He was smart. What a charming life. New thrills in every town. The gambling table, the drinking parties, the nights of lust. What a life. Why be a fool and stay home? See the big world. Try it all. Why not? Had I dared to intrude and said, young man, if you ever expect to get back home to your father, remember, every mile you go away, you must return every step of the way, like those of our day, he would have replied, go away, I'm not studying about that. But one day those very words would ring in his memory as he must face the bitter fact. The journey back is just as long as the journey away. It was downhill going, but it will be uphill returning. You can put on your skis and slide down the snowy mountain, but oh, the climb back. Neighbor, it is just that way with you. Consider this fact and stop right where you are. Refuse to go another step away from God. Sin is costly business. Sin brings a bitter harvest. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Every sin adds to that bitter harvest, both here and hereafter. Let the fear of that Almighty God, whom no man can mock, let his fear come upon us, everyone. Now I will trace the prodigal's way back. First, he came to a dead stop. As he came to his senses and saw what a fool he was, perishing with hunger, soon to be chewed up by the hogs, and his bones picked by the buzzards, sinner, this is your wasted prodigal life, and then comes eternity when God will face you with every one of your sins, and you must receive the punishment they deserve. I plead with you, stop in your life of sin and turn back to God. Second, he made a decision. I will arise out of this filth and go back home to my father. He was dehumanized to a hog's life, yet he was no hog. He was still a human being, endowed by God with a will, a choice. He could choose. He must choose, and he did. Neighbor, that right to choose is still yours. Make your decision. I will go back to God. I will. Then he made a start. He was not all talk. He meant it, and out from the hog pen he climbs. Oh, sinner, make a start today. It seemed useless for that starved weakling to attempt such a long journey, and with no provision for the way. The devil preaches despair and suicide. Don't listen to him. Make a start. But what good would a start be to that prodigal? He could never make it home. He would have answered, if I die on the way, I want my father to know I have turned my face home. Oh, sinner, be that prodigal and start back to God. Then came the journey, no shortcuts. Every weary mile must be retraced. The roadhouses at each bend of the road brought those bitter memories of his being there before. Oh, what a fool he had been. Afresh he cries in bitter repentance, I have sinned, I have perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. The journey was so long, the memory so tormenting, despair seized him again and again. He faltered, he fell down by the road and cried in helpless despair, for well he knew how long was that journey yet ahead. What does all this mean? This is one under deep conviction of sin as he repents toward God. You may cross the threshold home in 1 minute, but the way back is long and bitter. I was saved in 5 minutes, but for 2 long and weary years, I was taking that journey back to God, tormented, convicted, ashamed, as God's word accused me. His spirit convicted me, and my conscience lashed me. I was so miserable, only hellfire could be worse. Our Lord told us the prodigal made it home. How did he make it in? Sinner, let me tell you, God has legions of angels, and whenever a sinner stops in his life of sin and starts back to God, God sends his angels to keep him along the road back. By night they kept the wild beasts at bay. By day they showed him the spring of water, the honey, and the figs, and so he journeyed on. I have already told you that he must take every step of the way home. True, but see what happens. When yet far from home, the Father runs to meet him, embraces him, forgives him. This is God's great heart of love and mercy toward a repentant sinner, but none others. If you repent, God cannot wait. He runs to meet you. But while the prodigal is forgiven, yet there remains the rest of the journey back home. The Father does not carry him. Remember that. Oh no, he must walk every step of the way home. He went away and he must return, and so with every sinner. I see the prodigal hand in hand with his Father, chatting together in loving fellowship. Then he falters. What happened? Oh, my Father, I remember when I came this way, and what I did at that place. Yes, after salvation, there is still the journey back. Once a young mother came to us in tears. Her children were using the bad words she used before them in her unconverted days. See that young man with his little family, and suddenly sees on the street a person that makes him double up in trembling fear. So his wife and children are perplexed. It was his harlot of days past. Oh, the bitterness of that journey back with its horrible memories, and part of it after salvation. And even in old age, it meets us in our children and grandchildren. Is it any wonder I plead with you to stop that wild journey and turn back to God? Don't go another step. Finally, how long will it take to get back to God? You decide this. You might be advised that you could drive from New York to San Francisco in 10 days. And then hear someone tell you, I drove in 3 days. How did he do it? First, he laid everything aside. He didn't stop for meals or sleep. On and on he drove. Second, he was in earnest to get there, and so he pressed on with that one great aim. So with your journey back to God. If you will drop everything, business, pleasure, meals, sleep, and in desperate earnestness turn back to God, your journey shall not take so long. You decide this. But some will not forsake their ease and comforts. They are like the foolish virgins when told, go and buy for yourselves. They were so slow and easy, they were too late. Neighbor, the day of God's mercy is closing. You haven't long to get back to God. That's why our Lord Jesus said, agonize to enter into the straight gate. Stop going away from God. Make a start back and don't rest. Press on and on till you make it home. My God is looking the fields and roads of this world over for the returning prodigals. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to save you, but how can he? Christ Jesus has offered himself as the ransom. He is the one mediator between God and men. When you repent, then your eyes will open to see in the Lord Jesus Christ your only hope. And in faith, you will lay hold on him as your Lord and Savior. And when you so repent, God remembers Calvary and he cries, I have found the ransom. My son bore the sins of that repentant man, and he paid the price of his redemption. And then God decrees, deliver his soul from the pit, he shall see the light. Oh, the joy of getting back to God in repentance and finding in Jesus Christ, His Son, your Lord and your Savior. Neighbor, the journey back to God is indeed long and hard, but think of the end of it all. Who would mind the journey when it ends with God and with Christ, with heaven and with home? Meet me in that heavenly home. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.